Hi Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education. We discuss everything that will help us create the world we want to be in. We discuss what we can learn, what we can achieve, what we can grow and know, and bring society to where we want it to be. How to make the world the place we want to live in, influencing our friends, our families, our communities, and everyone around us to, I guess, get the world to perfection, if that's a possibility. I don't know. We'll have to see. Generally, what we do as in this show, as you know, always, we bring very important topics, issues, and we discuss what would be the approach, different angles with different professionals, doctors, rabbis, therapists, etc. Today, I want to bring up a topic that I'm actually not going to be discussing what we should do. We're going to be discussing how we should do it, because I'm going to start this off with a given statement. And because the topic today is about having our kids being able to safely go outside into the parks, into the streets, into the fields, play, be children. And we're not going to debate it if it's right or not, if it's important or not important, because it is. As simple as that. And you know me as I'm not generally a person who speaks on this show with an opinion of this is how it has to be. And now I'm going to say it, probably for the first time in 10 years. This is how it has to be. It has to be that kids and families can go outside, can have kids playing with their peers in their own ages, climbing trees, running down blocks, playing in fields, and doing what kids can do for a normal society upbringing. However, saying that, our reality in South Africa is not in the easiest space when it comes to sending our kids out and letting them go out. And our question is how? How can we do it? How can we make it safe? And for that, as always, I'm going to be speaking to the professionals, the experts, to discuss and see how can we create a reality that is safe and that is appropriate for children and families to go and enjoy the beautiful country and parks and weather and everything South Africa has to share with us and for us to enjoy. So let's go dive in and get to know our guests today. So our first guest today on the show is going to be Lloyd Bemelman. I hope I pronounced your surname correctly. Lloyd, yeah. Good afternoon. Lloyd, please tell us a bit about your work. You are a psychologist, a sports and exercise. What does that mean?
Yes, thanks for having me on the show today. It's very nice to chat to you guys and your listeners as well. Basically, the sport and exercise, it researches and studies how people engage and sometimes disengage with exercise when it becomes too much. But I suppose today we'll be talking on the former, on how to get into it and the benefits thereof.
Yeah, you will be allowed to mention how crucial it is and how important it is, because it really is in every level of life, from sensory to anxiety to social life to connection, etc. And the other guest here with me on the show today is Jenny Modelli. Jenny is the spokesperson for Johannesburg City Parks. And, you know, Jenny, I hope you're not going to kill me for what I'm about to do, but I'm actually going to open up the WhatsApp line for any questions, any comments to you. You are the spokesperson for Johannesburg City Parks. So if you have anything you want to ask Jenny about our parks, what we can do, what is important, what is safe, what is not, or for Lloyd at this moment, send us a WhatsApp to 061-895-1019. The WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. Good afternoon, Jenny. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for hosting Joburg City Parks on a very, very important subject. Thank you.
Okay, tell us a bit about the role of Joburg City Parks, your role in it, and what do you do?
I'm responsible. Firstly, I act as the spokesperson for the entity, but I'm also responsible for intergovernmental relations, making sure that entities outside Joburg City Parks and Zoo also play their part in the safeguarding of our public open spaces, our cemeteries, protecting our tree canopy, making sure that our water bodies are clean and safe and can be enjoyed. So yes, there's a number of roles within Joburg City Parks' mandate. And while I'm responsible for intergovernmental relations and media relations, we have departments that are responsible for operations, largely around horticultural maintenance and arboricultural maintenance. Then, of course, we have an environmental education department. We have the park rangers, many of you know, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that today because there's this misconception that the park rangers have the authority to enforce the city's public open spaces bylaws. Unfortunately, they don't. We're heavily dependent on JMPD. And then there's the conservation unit. We have other support services. But in terms of our subject today, I think critical departments include the park rangers, our environmental education, our media, and how can we advocate for better parks. And of course, marketing, supporting services, and relationship building with residents as well.
Wow, sounds amazing. Quite a lot of work you guys do there. So I'll start with a simple question. Are our parks safe?
It depends where you are based in the city. Some parks, we're finding that the narrative has changed, and a case in point is a park like the Wilds. We've seen where historically the park became a no-go area. And in the recent years, we found, led by community initiatives, we're finding that that space has turned around. I was there on Mandela Day to unveil a park of Madiba and to install a bench on the day. And, you know, there was ornamental frogs in the water body that was still very much intact. The fence is all intact. There's artwork. The park is litter-free. And to date, I'm saying if we can do it at the Wilds, we can do it in other parks. This is largely thanks to, again, a community-led initiative. We have a dedicated security contingent based in the park. The rangers patrol the facility, and also the workers that are based there, who are 12 in total, that they, you know, that they remain very visible and act as a deterrent. So it's about bringing through all these different entities and role players to make sure that our parks can be safe. Where else? I can tell you there are other parks, including some of our cemeteries, that I urge visitors and mourners to work through the security at the entrance before they enter. We're facing cases mostly relative to opportunistic crime. We have over 42 cemeteries in the city. 38 have reached full capacity for primary burials. So these are dormant spaces, and you know where they're quiet spaces, less utilized than your more active spaces. They're prone to opportunistic crime, and hence we ask mourners, visitors, and so on to exercise all the necessary caution. But again, the appeal is to families. You know, we count on you, like you would not leave a young child roaming freely in a mall. Similarly, parents need to absorb some of that responsibility.
That's definitely, also, Jenny, but yes. that's 100%. I agree. And specifically in any place, even in the safest parks, I wouldn't recommend just leave your kids and go. Mm-hmm. My question is, and I'm going to ask you both from both angles, as a psychologist and as a person from the City Park, Johannesburg. Let's speak of a young mom. She comes to the park with her child and she wants to have fun. What are the indicators she can look around, if she is not aware, to know, is this a safe area or not? What are you looking for? What am I identifying? Because many times we're in an area, we don't know if the park is safe or not. What can I do to make sure, A, that I recognize if it's safe or not, and B, if it's kind of in the middle, what are the precautions that I need to take to be safe? And at the same time, keep the balance of a child actually getting the freedom of a park and enjoying and having the right fun and what the child needs.
I think one of the most obvious indicators that it has to be a clean park. You feel safer when there's no litter strewn all over and so on. Secondly, it's the time that you visit the facility. All parks are open between 6 and 6, but again, too bright and early in the morning is not recommended for moms that want to come out bright between 10 and 2 o'clock. I would say that would be the ideal time to come out and enjoy some park time with your kids. Of course, it will vary over the weekends and public holidays. I would look for where you can visually see the whole space, that it's accessible, where you have you can see the exit and the entrance points. In some facilities, where you might find other users, children often, but other grannies and other persons utilizing the park. You would also look for, read your local media, find out, where are the safe areas, steer clear from high areas with increased tree canopies and high shrubs. So visibility is extremely important. But more importantly, look out for fellow women, fellow moms with their babies and so on. I would join parks like that.
When you see the population there.
Also join your local community groups, because they champion some of these initiatives.
So we'll look at local community groups afterwards. We do need to take a first break. And then after the break, I'm going to come back to you, Lloyd, and hear, based on what we're hearing, what can we do in order to make these parks safer, or what can we do to support our children there? And just identify. Jenny, I'm just thinking and wondering if there is in the website, or maybe something could be an idea of creating some kind of zoning area that you can just go online and see, is this considered a bit more safe or not? I don't know how that would work, if possible or not, but just as a thought that you could just type it in and say, yeah, this is fine, this is safe. So a short break and we'll be right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we are in a very interesting discussion, fascinating discussion, I'd say, about the parks and the ability for our children in South Africa today to go out to parks and to enjoy time outside and to just be kids with other peers and with other families and connect and have fun and get into physical, healthy shape, etc. And in this discussion, I'm here with Jenny Modelli, who is the spokesperson for Johannesburg City Parks. And she's been speaking about the work she's doing and amazing. And I have to say, even on a personal level, there's one of the old cemeteries in Joburg that I've been going to yearly. This past year looked like something big changed there. A different security company and a lot happening. So it seems quite apparent that a lot of good work is happening, which is amazing. And obviously, if you want to join in the conversation or comment or ask Jenny or anything you want, 061 is a WhatsApp line, 061-895-1019. And I'm joined as well with Lloyd Bemelman, who is a psychologist that works specifically in the field of sports and exercises, etc. And I want to ask you, Lloyd, right before the break, we heard Jenny and she spoke about the safety of the parks and what to look out for. And she did mention that the prime safety time would be from 10 to 2, which generally is when kids are still in school. So what would you say to a parent listening to us and says, well, maybe in today's times, it's not that important. What can I do? We have our devices, we have our yards, we have our gardens. It is what it is. That's our reality today. Should I really take that risk and push myself? Is it that important? Is it that important?
Yeah, look, I think it's most definitely important. It's necessary to highlight the physiological and mental benefits that exercise gives you. And part of that is identifying the danger. And that's what builds resiliency. If you know that there's danger out there, sometimes it can be real, sometimes it can be made up. Watching the news or too much news can give you a skewed perception of the world. And if you purely plugged into the news and the negative things that are happening in the media, it skews your perception. So you have to, even though these areas are they can be a bit dangerous, you still have to go out, and it provides a vital place to exercise. And even parks and zoos, they're very necessary to as a source of entertainment, and also the exercise component of it. Go and take the dogs, go for a walk, go for a run. It's very necessary to have these places and safeguard them, because you cannot have a functioning safe society if people do not exercise. It's I think beyond physiological needs, food, water, those essential things, you know, safety is second on the list. Even before love and belonging and those things that parents provide, if it's incredibly fundamental to secure the safety needs of people, you cannot function effectively if you know if you're worried at night and you cannot sleep because you're worried about the security of a house or something nearby. It will affect you, and it'll not only affect you in the moment but long term. If you cannot get rest or sleep, for example.
So it's, you know, it's very interesting you bring up the mental health part of it. And, you know, one of the things that we see specifically in our society right now, that the levels of anxiety are extremely high. And part of it is exactly this concept of the parks, because to be fair, as adults, I don't think we're the most optimistic people right now in our society. Maybe now it's getting a bit better. And when we are concerned about our kids for safety, and kids are all the time around adults and not playing with their peers and with their friends besides for school, then all they hear is about their worries and concerns and politics and crime and whatever it is. And they're not just having children's normal important discussions of how do you climb a tree and where do you run and who's faster and who's stronger and who's playing or whatever, just normal stuff, which is extremely important, as well as you said, the physical movement and the dopamine and everything that we get that comes into that space of mental health. Saying that, there still is a level of almost disconnect between the resources that are out there in between the reality that is being used. And I'm also wondering why. Why is it that, let me start as a psychologist first. How come we gave up so easily in the parks? I understand when people say it's not maybe safe, or I'm scared, or I'm worried, etc. But at the same time, you know, Jenny's speaking about the connection between the city and communities doing this work. Why are we just giving up? Why are we not saying, one second, we need this park for our kids. We need to fight. We need to make this work. We need this to happen if we want our kids to grow up healthy.
Yeah, look, it can be various. There could be a lot of people giving up, but, you know, it remains a factor that if it's not secure and it's not safe, that can be the primary motive why people do not go out and engage. You know, they don't have to go to gym, they don't have to necessarily engage in sports. Recreational activities, cycling, walking, running, are very basic. They don't require monetary investment. Anybody and everybody can do them after work, in work clothes. You know, you can reap the benefits. So I think you can look to the future and, like, is it going to be positive? It can get better. It can also get worse if the places are not secure, if they're not taken care of, if they're not safe. There will be a decrease in participation in those events, and I say now, it can certainly destabilize the fabric of society. Having those spaces where people don't trust them and don't go out and utilize them.
So let's talk about that. And by the way, I'm going to remind our listeners that if you want to join in this conversation or comment or add or say, 061-895-1019 is the WhatsApp line, 061-895-1019. And I'm going to go from here to Jenny, because there is a question that's kind of in my mind regarding this, and that is like this. We are seeing a bit of a disconnection between the kids in the parks and the society in the parks. And the first thing I always say to my kids and when we speak is, like, you'll never take your banana peel, I hope, and throw it on the floor in your living room, because you live there and you respect it. And obviously, if people are doing that in the park, then they don't feel that connection and that it's their park and their area and their community. And there are many areas and infrastructures that people in South Africa currently are not necessarily relying on the government. So there are people that are putting solar panels because they're not relying on electricity, and there are people that are digging boreholes because of water. And The same thing would be with parks. However, speaking to you, Jenny, and it sounds like you're very open to have a discussion with communities and creating something together. What is out there that we can do to allow people to step up their game and actually create a safe environment and space for their children?
I think first and foremost is that we just can't afford to give up. We absolutely understand the critical need for public open spaces, for mental wellness, for peace and tranquility, and particularly in this environment where even our children are bombarded by so much negativity. I think we have a moral responsibility to make sure that we need to continue doing whatever it takes to retain the integrity of our spaces. So I think that is a no-brainer. City Parks' mandate is very clear in our directions from the City of Joburg. We need to manage, maintain, and provide oversight of public open spaces, and that we need to continue to do. The second part in the question is, what can we do? What can we do differently? So, yes, we've issued call after call to resident associations, to private security companies. You do know that your CAPS, your FADTs, your Blue Hawks, and so on. These companies, we have over 25 on our database. And they work very closely with Joburg City Parks. So as much as they, too, don't have the authority to enforce the bylaws, they act as our eyes and ears when it comes to transgressions or some things that need to be red flagged. We then have a dedicated unit, which is the park rangers, who facilitate that and bring on board JMPD or the South African Police Services and so on. But more importantly, how do you inculcate this ownership and pride for public open spaces? And it goes a lot back into the history of our country, how it's evolved, how do you build ownership, how do you build fear and pride. And Joburg City Parks was one of the at the forefront of saying, love yourself and the love for your environment or your public open space will come in naturally. Because a lot of people are just so overwhelmed by, you know, issues of poverty and unemployment and all the other more pressing issues, that parks sort of, in Maslow's law, you would know it takes the second, it's not prioritized. So for us, it's how do you build this ownership to say parks are also just as important as water and electricity.
Right, but Jenny, I'm going to step in here because it's not low on Maslow. It's just that we don't realize that it's on physical and mental health. So physical health and physical needs are quite a beginning by Maslow as well. Okay. However, we're not interpreting that way, which is part of our discussion. How do we interpret it that way? That it is our physical and mental health.
That's correct. Oh,
sorry.
So,
go ahead.
So when it comes to the city and when you have very limited budgets, you can imagine in terms of we have so many competing needs that when it comes to parks, quite often we are at the bottom of the pecking order. And we've tried to make a case that why parks matter. And rightfully, you know, we've been allocated the budgets and so on. But in some instances, for example, let's look at fencing. We've looked at putting in palisade fencing, which is your, the metal fencing. We found that that was prone to theft and vandalism and, you know, people using these spaces as thoroughfares. So that fencing didn't work. We then stepped it up and went into concrete palisade. We found that the bolts became quite sought after, so that was lying damaged. We then went into part clear view, part concrete bollards, and even the clear view is prone to theft. So City Parks has tried these different elements, and what we're finding is that we've had to resort to a set of benchmarking principles called CEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. And how can you make your park safer using these basic principles in terms of visibility, in terms of design elements when it comes to parks, making sure they're more resilient? Because the safest part of a park is where the playground area is. And any mum will tell you that. So it's in that context that we're trying to drive footage around the playgrounds. And where there are huge spaces, we're trying to decentralize that so not too many people gather at the same time in one particular space. So there are these sort of subtle elements that are coming into our design principles. But having said that, there's still this huge dependency to change mindsets on what is acceptable behaviors when you get into a public open space. And one of that is love yourself, love your world, love your trees, love your parks. We've initiated those campaigns. We also went as far as putting together My Dream Park, engaging with schools, public schools, of course, through their schools and saying, tell us what you want to see in a park. And we were quite surprised to see how many children included a bin in their design, as much as these were primary school learners. And they included a guy with the looking like a security guard or a policeman. So you could see subtly these conversations are happening in that design process. Is they too are feeling a little bit insecure. But again, this is all relative to the area you're in. If you live in Yeovil around the corner, you could go out there right now and there's a host of children that have come out, are playing without any adult supervision, and they're thoroughly enjoying their park. Yet if you went off to James and Ethel or the Botanic Gardens, these massive sprawling spaces are absolutely underutilized because they're in the proximity of more, in a developed suburb, possibly more affluent communities who possibly have larger private spaces and are less likely to frequent a park during the day or after school.
We'll need to see it. Jen, we do need to take a short break. Yes. And when we come back, we will continue. And I'll continue with you, Lloyd. A short break and we will come back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back and we are in a fascinating discussion. I'm here with Jenny Modelli, who is the spokesperson for the Johannesburg City Park, and with Lloyd Bemelman, who is a psychologist working in exercise and sports activities, etc. And we're speaking about the importance, and right before the break, Jenny spoke about the importance and the opportunity and the ability to not give up and to fight and to make things happen and to make that connection and to create that change that we want to see, that the parks are a place that we can utilize properly. And Jenny, you mentioned before the break that the bigger parks are less utilized. And I had to stop because we went into the ad breaks. But what would be something that an average listener hearing us now says, okay, then what can I do about it? What would you say to them?
I would say to them, pack your families and your friends and utilize these spaces because they are underutilized. And unfortunately, the way resources are generally allocated, it's apportioned in favor of the bigger facilities, which are underutilized, and yet the smaller pocket park, which are generally utilized on a daily basis, sometimes outside the office hours, outside the hours that the bylaws state. The bylaws are strictly set between 6 in the morning and 6 in the afternoon. So we find that the children even are still in the park during the summer up until 7 and 8 o'clock and so on. So we're saying if I was in charge of the budget, I would absolutely relocate those resources. But it's a discussion we need to have with our residents, stating that some of these resources need to be deployed in favor of your smaller park because they're more utilized. So yes, that's something that we as city parks in the city need to change. But to the resident, I would say absolutely utilize your parks, work through your ward councillor. Every ward committee has an environmental group, and every environmental group is championing some greening initiative in your space, in your ward. Create a friends of a particular pocket park. Many of these initiatives that are coming to us now, and we're getting offers of literally 5 to 6 offers per week from residents saying, we want to adopt faith. And the adoption process is not about taking over City Park's mandate. It's about making these spaces more vibrant, bringing in community-led initiatives, making sure that City Parks is doing what we should be doing in these spaces, like our regular maintenance and so on, making sure that the bins are clean, reporting any service shortfalls. So that's what an Adopt a Park partnership is about, not about residents utilizing their own rants and cents to take over City Parks' mandate. exactly, but to actually making sure it happens. That's correct.
Right. So, Lloyd, I want to ask you, let's say a listener listening to our show and hearing and says, you know, Jenny's right, and I'm going to speak to my kids and I'm going to speak to my husband and we're going to go out and we're going to do this. And then they go to their kids and their kids are like, nah, seriously, what? What would you recommend? How can we get our kids excited and interested in the sports and into that environment?
Well, I think it is quite a challenging task. It's not easy. I think with all of the screen time things that they can do, they can watch TV and they can feel connected artificially. You've got that working against us, so it's not something to take lightly. You know, you have to implement it. You have to go and do it and ensure it's done. Because I think the challenges are massive, that, you know, the kids can present and say that it's not fun, they don't enjoy it, they'd prefer the comfort of their home. But, you know, it's all in the adversity that you get the benefit. And, you know, parents still have a big say over their children, even though teenagers, some of them look like adults. You know, parents must still have a strong hold over the children, and they need to get them out. And it's not always, doesn't have to be a discussion. You know, the children might think that they know what's best for them, but they certainly do not.
Okay. And yeah, definitely. You're just saying, put it out there and go out and do it and just make it happen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, not that many SMSs came through regarding questions and comments and Jenny, what I predicted, but I'm just going to read you one that came in, and I think that is giving an indicator. And it's just a thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So nice to hear that there are so much effort invested in our parks and environment. It really is so important. So I guess there is an understanding and there is an appreciation, and the listeners are commenting on it. So I guess that is exactly the work we need to do. To end off, because we are running out of our time in this show, one question to both of you is the same. What do you wish parents and kids and the society in South Africa knew in order to make a change, in order what do we hope for to have in the coming years in this regard for our kids? Jenny. Okay, Lloyd, go ahead.
I think for me, I have a Canadian husband, his home country is Europe, in Europe, Poland. So I get to travel a lot, and I can't tell you how every time, and we do a lot of walking and so on. So every time I'm in Europe or in any other space where spaces are well managed and I'm seeing huge numbers of children just enjoying their spaces, I so wish I could take that model and cut and paste and bring it right here. And you know, I've also brought back some of how we design and how we attract the youth particularly. We've always maintained, you know, the PlayStations and the computer games, and now social media are one of our greater threats, even bigger than crime, when it comes to public open spaces. And it's how do you change that narrative? And we're just trying to make their friends as love our parks, love our spaces, create the platforms for them to engage. And you know, the best we can do is just get parents to be part of that narrative also. It's going to be a long task, but I can tell you there is a change. I see more girls on bicycles in our parks than I've ever seen before. And these might be little seedlings of
hope. That's how it starts. And that's amazing. And well done to you about that. And I think we'll keep this discussion going maybe after the show as well, to see how we can get a few more communities that I'm involved with the show, and to see how what we can create and do together. Lloyd, what do you wish and hope that the kids would know?
Look, I think it's not always the face value. You know, a single moment's intimidation isn't necessarily the future. So I think not really judging it at the outset, giving it a go, getting out there, because you know, if you try it and it's a pleasurable experience, and not only the fun factor, but having a good sense of what you've achieved and you've actually conquered the initial worry, you know, then the locus of control is in your hands, and you don't always feel a victim of the environment that you're in. I'd communicate to them more independence of thought, without being at the mercy of others.
Yeah, and just push it on your own. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lloyd, for being with us today. Lloyd Bemelman, thank you, Jenny Modelli, for all the work you're doing, and thank you for being with us today. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Sana, for putting these interviews together in place. And thank you for the listeners for being with us as you are every Monday, 2 to 3. Stay safe, keep well, and we will be back next week with a new topic and a new suggestion. Thank you.